Welcome to The Lookout, Fall 2023, Volume 116, Number 2. Brought to you by the Siemens Church Institute, siemenschurch.org. All rights reserved. My name is Don Sheets. In this issue of The Lookout, Mariner Wellness in the Inland Industry, Rules of the Road, Video Training for All Mariners, Anytime, Anywhere, ICMA Leadership Gathers in Antwerp, at the helm with John Wobensmith, CEO and President of Genco Shipping. Our corporate sponsors. The Siemens Church Institute is grateful to the following sponsors for their support. Sustaining and supporting sponsors invest at the highest level to further our mission-driven work on behalf of Mariners' personal, professional, and spiritual welfare. To learn more about sponsorships and their associated benefits, please visit siemenschurch.org/sponsors. Investing in SCI's mission-driven work on behalf of mariners and seafarers. Sustaining sponsors, American Commercial Barge Line, Ingram Barge Company, Trinity Church, Wall Street. Supporting sponsors, American Bureau of Shipping, Kirby Corporation, McAllister Towing and Transportation Company, Inc., Mediterranean Shipping Company, Moran Towing Corporation, Tote Group, in-kind sponsor, Seward & Kissel, LLP. The Lookout, Fall 2023, Volume 116, Number 2. The Lookout is a publication of the Siemens Church Institute, siemenschurch.org, 212-349-9090. In this issue, page 4, Mariner Wellness in the Inland Industry. Page 6, Chaplaincy, Fire, 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 Abandoned Ship. Page 8, Customized Training, Content. CMA works with ArtCo to create extensive video training library. Page 10, Rules of the Road, Video Training for All Mariners, Anytime, Anywhere. Page 12, 2023 Mountain Challenge. Participants brave hours of rain and steep hikes in support of mariners and seafarers. Page 14, ICMA Leadership Gathers in Antwerp. Page 16, Seafarer Sports. Page 18, At the Helm. John Wobensmith, CEO and President of Genco Shipping and Trading. Editorial, Bruce G. Paulson, Esquire, Chair, Board of Trustees. The Reverend Mark S. Nesselhut, President and Executive Director. Evan Brown, Director, Communications Editor. Naomi Walker, Manager, Special Projects Managing Editor. Diana Wheaton, Designer. From the President's Desk, the Reverend Mark Nesselhut, SCI President and Executive Director. Cold, wet, tired, and hungry. This could easily be an apt description of a mariner at the end of their watch on a particularly challenging day, but what I am describing is how many of the participants felt after day one of SCI's 2023 Mountain Challenge. In late September, approximately 150 competitors from throughout the U.S. and around the globe gathered in Vermont for our biannual Mountain Challenge to raise awareness of the sacrifices mariners make while raising funds to support SCI's mission to improve the well-being of mariners both far and near. No one enjoys being cold, much less cold and wet, and fatigue and stress exacerbate the challenge of staying alert and safe while working under such conditions. Yet day after day, year after year, since 1834, SCI chaplains listen to the stories of those who serve at sea or on the rivers, often in challenging environments, and endeavor to make these mariners' lives better by providing friendly ear, counseling, hospitality, and transportation. The individuals who comprise this crucial workforce transport the goods that we depend upon to sustain us in our daily lives. Most of what you can point to in your home spent some time traveling on a ship or barge. This issue of The Lookout arrives as many of us are enjoying the holiday season. We've just celebrated Thanksgiving and Christmas will soon be upon us, followed by the New Year. These holidays often bring family and friends together. Yet many mariners will spend the season on a vessel at sea, off the coast, or on the river, separated from their families. Please join me in giving them thanks for all that domestic mariners and international seafarers do to improve and enhance our lives, and for the families they leave behind to do this important work. In these pages, you will read about the work of SEI Center for Mariner Advocacy as we partner with industry and outside agencies to improve mariner wellness. There's a report on SEI's response to the tragic and lethal ship fire in Port Newark from earlier this year. SEI's longtime partnership with other global seafarer welfare agencies throughout our association with ICMA, International Christian Maritime Association, is explored, and we revisit the historic role that sports has played for seafarers while in port. Lastly, we feature Maritime Executive John Wobensmith, CEO of Genco Shipping and Trading, in our At the Helm feature. My hope is that you will learn and discover new things about the work and mission of the Seamen's Church Institute, and that perhaps you will have a renewed and strengthened appreciation for the work of seafarers and mariners in the role they play in our lives and in global commerce. Thank you for the support you provide SEI that enables us to carry out our mission to improve the personal, professional, and spiritual well-being of mariners 24/7, 365. We could not undertake this mission without you. Happy Holidays, Mark. SeamensChurch.org. Mariner Wellness in the Inland Marine Industry. Center for Mariner Advocacy. SEI chaplains regularly interact with mariners in the inland marine industry. Through these interactions, it became clear that mariner wellness was an issue impacting many of these mariners. In order to help address this issue, SEI hosted a roundtable in Paducah, Kentucky in July of 2021. Over 20 people attended, representing a broad cross-section of the inland marine industry, medical professionals, and government regulators. Those in attendance heard from researchers about studies highlighting the importance and complexity of the mariner wellness issue. Many of the company representatives in the room discussed various initiatives they had attempted in order to help address mariners' physical wellness concerns. These included prepared menus that ensured calories were appropriate and the meals nutritious, purchase of exercise equipment, financial incentives based on healthier lifestyle choices, etc. While some of the programs had some marginal benefits, for the most part, the representatives did not feel that the initiatives had significantly improved mariner wellness. At the conclusion of the one-day meeting, the group decided the issues surrounding mariner wellness warranted additional work and decided to create a steering committee to look at ways to better address them. Phil Schlifflin, SCI's director of the Center for Mariner Advocacy, was asked to help facilitate the establishment of the steering committee and its work going forward. Phil reached out to several leaders in the industry and ultimately identified three individuals passionate about the mariner wellness issue who were willing to serve on the steering committee. Phil also reached out to a medical professional who was very familiar with the inland marine industry. The steering committee was established with these four individuals. The committee has been meeting regularly, usually once a month, for over a year now, and have identified several areas of concern regarding mariner wellness. The consensus agrees that there are a wide range of both physical and mental wellness issues that are worthy of additional efforts. The group also discussed how poor mental health likely contributed to poor physical health, and that the reciprocal was likely true too. Recognizing that they could not simultaneously attempt to address all the identified challenges, the committee needed to hone in on the best place to focus their immediate attention. After some deliberation, the steering committee decided to focus their initial efforts on mental health issues. They came to this decision due to the fact the past efforts had been focused primarily on physical wellness. As such, they decided to focus on an area that had not had much attention in the past. Some early discussions focused around the Employee Assistance Program, EAP, and the mental health care that these programs provided. The representatives noted that the various EAP programs offered in the way of mental health care varied based on both quality of care and responsiveness of the care. The group would like to identify those EAPs that are best positioned to help mariners address mental health concerns. In the interim, the group recommends companies review what services their EAPs are providing, and if they are not satisfied, look to replace their EAP with one that will better meet their mariners' needs. Ultimately, the group designated four areas of concern regarding mental health that needed their initial attention. 1. improve mental health screening tools to better identify mariners in need of assistance. 2. Better guidance to inland marine HR professionals on how to manage mental health concerns with their mariners. 3. Work to address licensing challenges for mental health care professionals that serve mariners. 4. Guidance on how best to manage the return to work process after a mariner has recovered from a mental health crisis. The steering group is establishing work groups to more extensively address each of these four issues. The first work group is presently being established to work on improving mental health screening tools. If you are interested in participating in any of the four proposed work groups, please get in contact with Phil at pschifflin@stevenschurch.org. Being ready for the future of seafarer welfare. In the ever-evolving world of maritime ministry and seafarer welfare, staying informed and legally aware is crucial for chaplains and those dedicated to supporting the well-being of seafarers. Phil Shifflin, Jr., Esquire, Director of SCI's Center for Mariner Advocacy, recently addressed chaplains and other seafarer welfare workers at the North American Maritime Ministry Association Conference in Seattle, Washington. His recommendations shed light on the current legal landscape as it pertains to the future of seafarer welfare. 1. Cultivate relationships with port leadership. One of the first pieces of advice Shifflin emphasized was the importance of establishing relationships with the Coast Guard sector commanders and Customs and Border Protection, CBP, officers in your port before issues arise. These connections can be invaluable when dealing with various challenges that seafarers may encounter during their time in port, helping ensure a smoother resolution of issues and crises. 2. Understand the current state of the Maritime Labor Convention, 2006. The Maritime Labor Convention, 2006, MLC, 2006, is broad and complex and serves as a cornerstone in protecting the rights and well-being of seafarers worldwide. Shifflin stressed the need for chaplains and welfare workers to be familiar with it. This understanding will prepare chaplains and support workers to better advocate on behalf of seafarers, helping to ensure that they receive the protection and support they are entitled to under this international treaty. 3. Current guidelines and updates to SASH laws. Sexual assault and sexual harassment, SASH, are issues of utmost concern within the maritime industry. Shifflin urged the audience to become familiar with current SASH guidance, understand how to respond to incidents, and know the procedures for reporting such cases when visiting ships. Being prepared to provide support and guidance to seafarers facing these sensitive issues is crucial for their safety and well-being. To delve deeper into these essential topics, Shifflin's comprehensive presentation can be viewed in its entirety in this video, seamanschurch.org/CMA-NAMMA. Chaplaincy, fire, 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 abandoned ship. The Reverend Richard D. Sloan, SCI Chaplain Associate, Port of New York and New Jersey. At 9:04 p.m. on Wednesday, July 5th, those words rang out on the 12th deck of the MV Grande Costa de Avorio. While berthed near the Seamen's Church Institute's International Seafarer Center at Port Newark, the 28 crew members from the Philippines, Italy, and Romania immediately went to their muster stations where they began fire suppression efforts. There are 5 types of alarms on a commercial ship, whether it's a cruise ship, container ship, bulk carrier, roll-on, roll-off, commonly called a car ship, tanker, or any combination. Every seafarer is alert to the sound of one of these alarms. General emergency, fire, man overboard, abandoned ship, and CO2. 3 of these alarms sounded on the Grande within 11 hours. The ship was a combination car and container ship. The fire was on one of the decks with cars loaded for transport to Africa. The crew used fire extinguishers and onboard fire hoses to fight the fire. However, the fire spread eventually exceeded those tools, at which time hatches to the various compartments were closed and dogged so carbon dioxide could be used. But that effort, too, was unsuccessful. By 6:40 a.m. on Thursday, July 6, it was no longer safe for the crew to remain on the ship, so the abandoned ship alarm sounded. The crew returned to the muster stations, and the captain verbally ordered abandoned ship. The seafarers left the ship with little more than the clothes they were wearing, and for many crew members that meant the greasy overalls worn when they were on duty. They were headed to safety, but as the fire was on at least three decks that included their accommodations where the crew lived, they all knew they had lost all of their possessions. The Seamen's Church Institute was alerted by the Port Authority and responded to the emergency. The crew had been taken to a nearby Port Authority building where chaplains James Colon and Michelle McWilliams arrived early that morning. Stress counseling was the immediate need. The feeling of loss was overwhelming. They had no idea what was to happen to them. Their official work documents, photographs, clothes, computers, and any cash they'd been paid. Seafarers often have most of their pay sent home, but the balances paid in $100 bills were gone. 14 had visas, but the other 14 did not. Photos included with the article show the Reverend Richard D. Sloan meets the seafarers on a ship visit, and members of the crew pose on the dock in front of the GCDA the day before they are to leave for home. The GCDA ship fire in Port Newark, July 6, 2023. Customized training content. CMA works with ArtCo to create extensive video training library. In the evolving maritime education landscape, adaptability and innovation are key to ensuring that mariners receive the highest quality training to navigate the complexities of their roles effectively. SCI's Center for Maritime Education has risen to this challenge, taking a comprehensive step forward through a unique training content partnership with American River Transportation Company, or ArtCo, a division of Archer Daniels Midland Company. In mid-2023, CME eLearning was entrusted with helping to build a substantial library of online learning courses for towboat crews. The content of these video modules, notes CME eLearning Manager Jonathan Burson, predominantly focuses on essential procedures and operations related to deck work. So think basic activities such as operating specific winches, wire rope handling, deck rigging, and many other aspects critical to the maritime industry. This approach reinforces learning and ensures that deckhands and mates are well prepared for the various challenges they may encounter when on duty. When completed, the library will feature over 60 video courses. CME's collaboration with ArtCo exemplifies its ability to tailor educational content to meet the specific needs of its clients. ArtCo initially sought off-the-shelf learning solutions, but discovered after working with CME eLearning that customized content was more in line with achieving their training goals. Says Burson, "We're in a great position to best assist with the project. Our flexibility allows clients like ArtCo to inject company-specific policies and requirements into their training materials, while ensuring that content aligns seamlessly with their objectives." With over 11,000 mariners and 30 companies currently using the e-learning database, carving out the time beyond operating CME's Learning Management System, LMS, to create high-quality training is challenging. Many only see the final 1 or 2 minute project, explains Burson. Few realize the amount of work that goes into creating it. It's an involved process, scouting scenes, script writing, getting the video, editing, and After Effects. With the significant scope of this project, Burson and CME recruited industry experience Mike Martin Media out of St. Louis to handle the video creation. And they've been outstanding in helping us build this out for ArtCo, continues Burson. This project is divided into three phases and is looking to wrap up by the end of 2023. Creating video training is not new to CME. It has already developed its own online content, the Rules of the Road training modules released last year. So now venturing into partnerships with maritime operators to create customized online training seems like a natural step forward. Working closely with ArtCo, we recognize their serious commitment to safety in their culture, said Burson, and that's very much aligned with what we do and have already done. Beyond content, CME offers the capacity to also set up accounts, create a curriculum based on the client's training matrix, and ensure a seamless integration into the organization's existing online infrastructure. Additionally, CMA provides off-the-shelf course content for clients with their own LMS that can be readily integrated and tailored to meet specific company needs. CME's unwavering focus is on ensuring mariner safety, which entails collaborating with clients to provide the most efficient and optimal means of imparting up-to-date training and industry best practices. Initiatives like the partnership between CME and ARCO exemplify our dedication to realizing this objective as we actively fulfill our mission through personalized cooperative efforts, recognizing that companies clearly understand their training requirements. CME, as their trusted partner, is committed to delivering tailor-made training solutions that precisely meet those needs. Photos included within this project show Jonathan Burson managing e-learning, Tobot Video Learning Modules, together with Mike Martin Media, based in St. Louis. CME is creating a video library of basic Tobot training modules for ARCO. Here's a collection of stills from the program on operating a winch. Remember, your gifts make a difference. Support mariners and seafarers with a donation to SCI's annual fund. Imagine living 24/7 at your place of work. No clocking off, no Friday feeling, no leaving the workplace and looking forward to spending time with friends and family. This is the reality and intensity of being aboard a vessel, and it is one of the many reasons why maritime life can be challenging. Mariners need and deserve our support, and by giving to SCI, you are providing it in a meaningful way. Since its beginnings, SCI has existed to serve mariners practically, professionally, spiritually, and emotionally. Through our chaplaincy, advocacy, and maritime education programs, we can be there for mariners on their best days and their worst days, and every day in between. Thank you for your donations. SeamansChurch.org/giving. Center for Maritime Education, Rules of the Road, video training for all mariners, anytime, anywhere. In 2022, the Seamans Church Institute's SCI Center for Maritime Education, CME, launched Rules of the Road, a series of short video-based training modules designed to disseminate maritime knowledge. The initial focus was on legal obligations, but has expanded to encompass vessel and radar operations. The driving force behind these modules lies in recognizing the limitations of traditional classroom-based maritime education. Classroom learning restricts the number of attendees, requires the on-site presence of instructors, and is confined to a particular time and place. These constraints hinder scalability and accessibility. It became clear that accessibility to asynchronous learning resources was required to meet the evolving needs of maritime operators, especially after the COVID-19 pandemic. CME's Rules of the Road project was designed to do just that. While Rules of the Road training modules can stand alone, the focus has always been a blended learning approach, combining the strengths of classroom instruction with the versatility of video-based content. By capturing expert knowledge and presenting it clearly and succinctly in video format, SCI aimed to reach a broader audience without the limitations of physical space or time constraints. One of the key features of this project, noted Captain Stephen Polk, director of SCI Center for Maritime Education, was the incorporation of objectives, not only comprehensive training content, but also post-module reviews and tests. This offers opportunities for reinforcement. To me, it's a natural progression, or enhancement, of classroom and simulator learning. But for CME, Rules of the Road represents more than instructional videos. With every video, CME has a chance to innovate and customize experiences by leveraging its simulator database, building highly realistic scenarios to illustrate critical lessons and concepts. With topographical data and ship models, CME can construct hyper-accurate scenarios that mirror those encountered on the water. This provides mariners with a virtual platform to address situations, apply their knowledge, and hone their skills. For our videos and our blended learning, our database allows us to look at incidents from any angle, change the weather or time of day, or even test various locations, said Polk. This flexibility empowers us to cater to the diverse needs of various maritime operators and professional mariners, whether they be new hires, steersmen in training, or seasoned masters. The current collection of Rules of the Road videos comprises 20 modules, commencing with legal obligations, completed last fall, and concluding with the most recent additions covering various aspects of vessel and radar operations. However, it's important to note that the potential for expansion is ever-present. Captain Polk states, "At CME, we highly value the feedback and insights of experienced mariners who participate in our training programs, as their suggestions may catalyze new module ideas. We're committed to bringing these ideas to fruition, if it's within our capacity. Through the fusion of the most effective elements of traditional classroom instruction and the realism offered by simulator-based learning, CME's Rules of the Road modules have emerged as a substantial educational resource for mariners. They complement existing training and classroom experiences, or can be conveniently accessed by mariners regardless of location or time, whether on the job or at home. For those interested, the Rules of the Road modules are available for purchase through direct contact with the Center for Maritime Education. Telephone number 713-674-1236. Email cme@seamanschurch.org. Training modules available to all mariners. The Rules of the Road are important video lessons for all mariners, beginners to masters, as everyone's safety on the water depends on our common understanding of the rules as they are written, and not the rules based on personal interpretation. Module 1, Intro, the Navigation Rules, Purpose and Architecture. Module 2, Rules 1 and 3, the Navigation Rules, Application and Definitions. Module 3, the Pennsylvania Rule, Understanding Noncompliance Rules. Module 4, Rule 2, the Navigation Rules, Responsibility. Module 5, Rule 5, the Navigation Rules, Lookout. Module 6, Rule 6, the Navigation Rules, Safe Speed. Module 7, Rule 7, the Navigation Rules, Risk of Collision. Module 8, Rule 8, the Navigation Rules, Action to Avoid. Module 9, Rule 9, the Navigation Rules, Narrow Channels. Module 10, Rule 13, the Navigation Rules, Overtaking Situations. Module 11, Rule 14, the Navigation Rules, Head-on Situations. Module 12, Rule 15, the Navigation Rules, Crossing Situations. Module 13, Rule 16, the Navigation Rules, Action by Giveaway Vessel. Module 14, Rule 17, the Navigation Rules, Action by Stand-on Vessel. Module 15, Rule 19, the Navigation Rules, Conduct of Vessels in Restricted Visibility. Module 16, Rule 34, the Navigation Rules, Maneuvering and Warning Signals. Module 17, Radar Adjustments. These videos are available to all mariners and maritime operators. Contact the Center for Maritime Education to gain access to these courses that include competency review and testing. A photo in this section shows Captain Stephen Polk, Director, CME. 2023 Mountain Challenge. Participants brave hours of rain, cold temperatures, and steep hikes in support of mariners and seafarers. Thank you to all who joined and supported the SCI Mountain Challenge 2023 at Mount Snow, Vermont. The two-day challenge featured a full first day of soaking rain, 6 miles of canoeing, and over 20 miles of vigorous mountain hiking, with a variety of challenges faced by competitors at intervals along the course. All our teams stepped up to the challenge admirably, had a lot of fun, and together we achieved remarkable results, raising over $525,000 for SCI's mission-driven initiatives in support of mariners and seafarers. We are immensely grateful to our SCI Mountain Challenge co-chairs, Rich DeMoulin of Intrepid Shipping and Jan Willem van den Diesel of Cargill for their unwavering commitment. Thank you to our incredible committee members who played a pivotal role in ensuring the event's success. We're also especially grateful to our generous sponsors, including Cargill as our lead sponsor, McAllister Towing as our peak sponsor, and UBS as our fueling station and breakfast sponsor. If you'd like to relive the excitement of the SCI Mountain Challenge, you can check out event photos at siemenschurch.org/2023SCIIMC. Additionally, we invite you to watch event videos at vimeo.com/siemenschurch/2023MC. See you all again for the SCI Mountain Challenge 2025. Thank you to our 2023 Mountain Challenge sponsors, Cargill, lead event sponsor, McAllister Towing, peak sponsor, and UBS Fueling Station and Breakfast sponsor. ICMA leadership meets in Antwerp. The benefits of SCI's partnership with Global Mariner Welfare Organizations, by the Reverend Mark Nesselhut, SCI President and Executive Director. In September 2023, ICMA's charity trustees and general membership met in Antwerp, Belgium, for the association's annual general meeting. The site for these meetings was the architecturally stunning Havenhuis, or Port House, located in the heart of the bustling port. Antwerp, the diamond capital of the world, is one of the largest commercial ports in Europe, second only to neighboring Rotterdam, with 15,000 ships and 60,000 inland barges arriving annually. The Havenhuis, originally a 19th-century fire station, is now a striking gem designed by Iraqi-born British architect Zaha Hadid, who died shortly before its completion in 2016. It is topped by a large ship-like structure that floats above the building. In addition to its size and scale, the Port of Antwerp is one of the best examples of a successful ecumenical seafarer welfare center, with chaplains from various organizations working collaboratively under one roof. Stella Maris, Roman Catholic, German Seamen's Mission, Evangelical Church of Germany, Mission to Seafarers, Church of England, and until recently, Sailors Society, Protestant Free Church. Each organization had full-time chaplains based out of the Antwerp Seafarer Welfare Center. By working together and by setting aside doctrinal differences for the greater good of serving seafarers, this center represents what is best about ICMA's vision and mission. As an organization, ICMA was founded to facilitate ecumenical partnerships among the many Christian organizations around the globe that are involved in maritime ministry and chaplaincy. At its first meeting, which was held in Rotterdam in 1969, over 100 delegates representing 52 organizations gathered to discuss both the changing face of maritime ministry and the need to work collaboratively. While now an international organization headquartered in London, ICMA's founding and roots can be traced to the U.S. and to the body now known as NAMA, or the North American Maritime Ministry Association. The Siemens Church Institute, SCI, was instrumental in calling together the many separate entities that ministered to seafarers in the United States and Canada, beginning in 1897, with an event hosted by SCI in Lower Manhattan, which met again in 1910 and 1930. The National Association of Seamen's Agencies became an official body in 1932. Several name changes later, this agency is now known as NAMA. Given SCI's long association with NAMA and ICMA, how does SCI both strengthen and benefit from these associations? For decades, SCI was the single largest seafarer welfare organization in North America and operated various SCI subsidiaries throughout the U.S. on behalf of the National Episcopal Church. Today, SCI remains North America's largest and most comprehensive seafarer and mariner service agency, offering vessel visits and counseling, crisis response, continuing maritime education and training, and advancing mariner advocacy and seafarer rights. We undertake this work to live out our mission of improving mariners' lives and well-being 24/7, 365. Our Center for Mariner Advocacy, formerly Seafarers Rights, provides the only pro bono legal counsel for mariners and maritime chaplains, both in the U.S. and globally. As such, we offer legal support to NAMA chaplains throughout North America and teach at the annual Introduction to Seafarer Welfare and Mariner Chaplaincy Training Program. With ICMA, SCI provides staffing and thought leadership for its delegations to the International Labor Organization and International Maritime Organization. SCI, in turn, benefits from the network of independent chaplains within North America and the larger associations around the world. The meeting in Antwerp highlighted the powerful unity of the 27 maritime ministry organizations that comprise ICMA's membership in addressing seafarer welfare. In this way, the partnership among agencies proves to be greater than the sum of its parts. The representatives in attendance examined and assessed ICMA's efforts, which encompassed issues like crew changes, COVID vaccinations, shore leave, and chaplain training programs conducted in Houston, Manila, and Hamburg. The review also extended to the numerous gatherings of the ILO and IMO, as well as the recently established joint ILO-IMO tripartite working group dedicated to addressing seafarer concerns and human factor. Over the decades, ICMA's work has changed to contend with the most pressing issues and needs for seafarer welfare, whether it be seafarer shore leave in the aftermath of 9/11, maritime piracy off the coast of Africa, abandonment of ships at sea and in port, stowaways, and more recently the worldwide COVID-19 pandemic and the war in Ukraine. Through all these changes, SCI has been an effective voice within ICMA, while simultaneously being more effective in our own work and mission because of our association with ICMA. Indeed, the whole is stronger than the sum of its parts. Photos included in this article include leadership and representatives from the 27 organizations that constitute ICMA's membership gathered for the 2023 AGM in Antwerp. ICMA charity trustees, Father Sergio Maseroni, Stella Morris, Sarah Bode, Seafarer Society, the Reverend Mark Nesselhut, the Seamen's Church Institute, SCI, Reverend Jeffrey Husby, Nordic Council of Seamen's Missions, the Reverend Canon Andrew Wright, Mission to Seafarers, MTS, Hilbert Peninga, Nederlandse, Z. Varendans Central, Deacon Paul Rosenblum, NAMA, and Reverend Matthias Riestau, Deutsche Seamen's Mission, EV, DSM, standing on an illuminated map of the port of Antwerp. Havenhuis, or port house, located in the heart of Antwerp's bustling port. From the archives, Seafarer Sports, by Stefan Dreisbeck-Williams, SCI archivist. Just east of SCI's International Seafarer Center at Port Newark, a green field fills the space surrounded by warehouses, stacks of containers, and mountains of scrap metal. Although now attracting little more than Canada geese, the soccer field is a testament to seafarers' contributions to soccer and SCI's support for boat workers through athletic competition. As world travelers, seafarers played an important role in popularizing and professionalizing soccer internationally. Benevolent associations like SCI supported soccer in hopes of distracting seafarers from less wholesome pastimes and entertainment. In time, their motivation shifted to a concern for physical and mental health. Soccer would remain an important part of seafarer life in New York Harbor until containerization drastically reduced shore leave. England led the world in the codification and professionalization of soccer in the later half of the 19th century. British seafarers brought their version of soccer to America as early as 1890, when Cunard Line seafarers were playing exhibition games against teams like one for the New York Herald newspaper composing room. Many early soccer teams were sponsored by business and composed of industrial workers. At least three New York Harbor shipyards had teams in America's most prominent league of the 1910s and 1920s. Seafaring teams tend to play exhibition games, likely because their infrequent visits to port made tournament play challenging. Seafaring teams played one another as early as the first years of the 20th century. In April 1909, the New York Sun reported that a team from the Oceanic won their fifth straight Ahern Cup, defeating the American Lines St. Paul in the soccer championship of the Atlantic at Macomb Dam Park, located near present-day Yankee Stadium. The Norwegian Seamen's Association was an early and consistent leader in promoting soccer as a distraction from less savory seafarer entertainments and pastimes. As early as 1911, they formed the Guizhou Sporting Club in Brooklyn, which continues today as the Guizhou Youth Soccer Club. In the 1920s, the YMCA Seamen's House a boat workers' hotel similar to SEI's 25 South Street, but located at the Chelsea Piers, the ocean liner equivalent of Grand Central Terminal, led a group of seafarer missions and liner companies in organizing an annual soccer tournament for teams from ships frequenting Atlantic ports, with matches played wherever two league ships were in the same port and the finals played in New York City. The league's first season was in 1929. Teams vied for the Caroline Delancey Cowell Cup until 1939, when the outbreak of World War II tied up the international shipping. Friendly soccer matches between ships of Allied and exiled seafarers continued throughout the war on fields in the far reaches of the city and on the deserted streets at the piers. It wasn't until 1949 that the Seamen's YMCA revived international soccer tournaments among seafarers, along with track and field and lifeboat races. From 1950 to 1952, the city of New York set aside a field at 2nd Avenue and 36th Street in Brooklyn, at the edge of the Bush Terminals complex, for the use of seafaring soccer players. The league persisted another 10 years on borrowed fields, notably a stadium in Red Hook behind Todd Shipyards. When SCI announced plans to open a center at Newark, its primary function was as a recreation center. The center, dedicated in June 1961, featured a snack bar, lounge, dressing rooms, and a soccer field, where the Ciudad de Pasto team of the Grand Colombiana line tied the Mayor line's Havhawk team 1-1 following the ceremony. Renovations and expanses would pause soccer and track and field competition. Norwegians coordinated with SCI to sponsor an international sports week in the 1970s and 1980s. From 1976 to 1986, the tournament ran as part of a harbor festival, a celebration that revived the lifeboat and tugboat races that had petered out in the mid-1960s. Community organizations used SCI's soccer field into the 1990s, and SCI formed an interport basketball league in 1993, but the soccer field hasn't seen an organized game in years. The physical and mental wellness that mariners get from athletic competition is no less important today than it was a century ago, but the short turnaround times of modern shipping pose a challenge to any kind of shore leave. Seafarers often have gym facilities aboard ship, but port workers make use of our fitness center at the International Seafarers Center in Port Newark. Today, SCI Soccer Field is a green oasis in the midst of the dust and bustle of Port Newark, and a reminder of our commitment to mariners' physical well-being. At the helm, John Wobensmith, CEO and President of Genco Shipping and Trading. Who are some important mentors or role models for you? I've been fortunate to have had a number of mentors in both my personal life and throughout my career who have helped shape the person I am today, including my leadership style and core values. Two role models who stand out are my father and George Wood, who was the first person I worked for in shipping. My father instilled in me a strong moral compass, work ethic, and an ability to work with others to achieve a common goal. His love of people and his capacity to collaborate with others and bring them together to make decisions is unique. He taught me that respecting people, even if they think differently to you, can go a long way. My father also showed me the importance of giving back to the community, which is one of the reasons I began working with Children of Bellevue, a nonprofit organization focused on the health and well-being of children in New York City. I've been working with the organization for nearly 25 years, as community engagement has become an important tenet of both my work and personal life. The other influential mentor in my career is George Wood. George, who is currently the chairman of Wawa, was the first person I worked for in shipping nearly three decades ago. I learned from George that hiring right is critical, and once you bring in talented people, you should trust and empower them. George gave me the autonomy to run a key segment of the bank's shipping portfolio. Looking back, his experience was invaluable and taught me so much about accountability, responsibility, and how to run a business early in my career, skills and values that I still apply today. Do you remember your first leadership role? How has your view of leadership evolved over time? My first leadership role was at the First National Bank of Maryland, where I was tasked with running their Latin American shipping portfolio. At 24, with minimal career and life experience, you're learning on the job. All you have to lean on are your core values. But being given autonomy and decision-making capabilities at a young age helped to supercharge my growth trajectory. The experience laid the foundation for further milestones in my career. I believe that impactful leaders know when to make quick, informed decisions, but also know when to roll up their sleeves to solve a complex problem with their team. I continue to look forward, take grace in a good decision, trust the analysis, and learn from what worked and what didn't. No one bets 1,000, but the key is to make more good decisions than not. That's when you know you're doing well. I enjoy working with smart, driven individuals who can provide unique insights utilizing their skill sets to solve problems. A lot of the time, it's my job to listen, decipher the various views, and choose a path forward that is best for the company. What advice would you give someone who's beginning a career in the maritime industry? How do you hire? What do you seek in a candidate? Learn the whole business, not just your current role. Seek out opportunities that will challenge you and your individual growth. People at the beginning of their career sometimes struggle with the choice of working at a smaller or larger company. I found a real advantage working at a smaller firm because you can make a significant impact every single day and you have a lot of responsibility early on. At Genco, we have a methodical process to ensure we hire right from a culture and talent perspective. We also seek out people with skill sets different to what we already have in-house. This process has proved successful, as many of our team members have been at Genco for well over a decade. People are introduced to shipping in a number of ways. I didn't come from a shipping family. I grew up in Annapolis, Maryland, where competitive sailing was a big part of my childhood, all the way through college. Between my junior and senior years, I was introduced to shipping through my internship at the Maryland Port Authority of Baltimore. After completing First National Bank of Maryland's credit training program, I was fortunate enough to be offered a job in the bank's specialty ship lending group, which launched my career and passion for shipping. What is the role of culture and innovation in your work? Innovation can be defined in many ways. Naturally, we think of technological paradigm shifts. However, over the years at Genco in particular, innovation can be viewed as the way in which we changed our business model. An important example of our approach is when we hit reset on the entire company in 2017. We implemented a strategic plan, undertaking a bottom-up approach, revamping every aspect of the company, including the assets we own, the commodities we trade, the way we generate revenue. Specifically, we transformed the company from a tonnage provider to an active owner-operator doing business directly with cargo owners to create value for both Genco and our customers. Furthermore, in early 2021, we embarked on a path to reset our capital structure, creating a low financial leverage, compelling dividend company, the likes of which never existed in the public equity markets at this scale in dry bulk. Innovations, from a technological perspective, continues to enable us to work smarter and more efficiently. We have a performance-based culture at Genco, and technology will continue to help improve our workflows going forward and also enhance the efficiency of our asset base. We recently participated in the Global Maritime Forum to ensure we have a seat at the table to help drive innovation to shipping. There are many exciting advancements going forward that will help reshape the business, including decarbonization and AI. While the way we work has changed over the course of my career, a lot of the same principles remain intact, including relationship building, personal accountability, the importance of face-to-face interaction, and getting smart people with different backgrounds in the same room. The entrepreneurial environment that I essentially grew up in back in my 20s that helped to kickstart my career is the same type of environment I strive to preserve at Genco. What inspires you? Shipping is such a dynamic business and global industry. Every day, I strive to learn and stay curious. First, continued advancement of the shipping industry. We've come a long way as an industry, but there's a lot of work to be done. It feels like we're at an inflection point in terms of decarbonization and technological advancement for the industry. Second, New York City inspires me. I really enjoy the energy of the city and what it offers to Genco as a company. The population is so diverse, which provides a terrific talent pool. We'd like to think our team based in New York is a microcosm of the city. Different ethnicities, sometimes a little loud, but hardworking, motivated, and driven. And third is my family. As shipping is a 24/7 business, having the support of family is paramount. Being a good example for my two daughters, the way my father was to me, is so important. Maybe one day you'll be interviewing one of them for this article. The world depends on mariners. Mariners depend on SCI, and SCI depends on you. The Seamen's Church Institute is the largest, most comprehensive mariners service agency in North America. Through our Center for Maritime Education, Center for Mariner Advocacy, Port Newark International Seafarer Center, and Ministry on the River, SCI advocates for the personal, professional, and spiritual well-being of mariners and seafarers around the world. The Seamen's Church Institute, 50 Broadway, 26th floor, New York, New York, 10004. Seamen'sChurch.org. This has been a recording of The Lookout, Fall 2023, Volume 116, Number 2. All rights reserved. My name is Don Sheets.